What's going on, everybody? Jordan from True Crime Collective, the world's most trusted source for murderabilia and true crime collectibles, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Boring Lake. Actually, no.
It's called Boner Lake.
Oh, Boner Lake. Okay. Not yeah. Bone Lake. It's really called It's really called Bone Lake, but we're just shitting on it already. So you can see where this is going to go already. All right. Directed by Mercedes Bryce Morgan, written by Joshua Friedlander, starring Alex Rowe as Will, Maddie Hassan as Sage, Marco Pigosi as Diego, and Andra Nikita as Sin. The plot of the movie is a couple's romantic vacation at a secluded lakeside estate is upended when they are forced to share the mansion with a mysterious and attractive couple. In this darkly hilarious and seductive horror story, a dream getaway spirals into a nightmarish maze of sex, lies, and manipulation, bringing terrifying secrets to light and triggering a bloody battle for survival. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com. Use code 30screams10. Get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Bone Lake?
It was fine. Not really. The entire movie is just Will and Sin spending an eternity playing emotional chess to make Diego and Sage hate each other, and none of it even is even remotely fun. Then the third act shows up like, hey, what if this was actually good? Which only highlights how brutal the rest of the runtime is. This slow burn isn't a slow burn. It's cinematic NyQuil. I paused the movie multiple times purely to make sure I was still alive.
It was... Oh, man, I couldn't stand it. I'm watching it, same thing. I'm pausing it. Like, this movie's got to be over. I'm 45 minutes in. That's it. I'm thinking I'm like a solid 115, and any minute now, we're going to get that climax at the end, and it's going to be chaos, right? No. I guess I had to watch it for another 45 minutes. But there's a difference between a slow burn and whatever the fuck this was. It was like slow. Intense. There was such a little build to this movie that all they were doing was like random things here and there, like trying to seduce Diego and Sage and things like that. And I'm just kind of picking on them a little bit or just messing with their minds a little bit, causing like trust issues. But ultimately, the idea of this movie is it's a couple, like the young couple wants Diego and Sage to prove their love and that they 100% trust each other, and if they don't, then they die. That's the story. It's basically Funny Games meets Barbarian.
So that's kind of what I noted here, that another couple rents the same house as they do, right? I was like, I feel like I've seen this before.
Yeah.
So that was it, Funny Games.
No, that was Barbarian.
Didn't it happen in Funny Games,
no,
too?
No, Funny Games was...
Or they went to that vacation home with another couple.
Well, okay, so like Funny Games was, you know, the family goes to their summer lake house, and then you have the two kids that come, like, all dressed in white and stuff like that, and that's when they start playing their own little games with the married couple. So it was kind of like that, except not as cool the slightest bit. So I just... Oh, man, I was so aggravated watching it. I'm just like, is anything going to fucking happen in this movie?
Yeah, it took me, I was probably about that same point too, where I got to about 45 minutes and I'm like, is anything at all going to happen in this movie? Because the way that it opens with the two naked people running through the woods, getting shot at with crossbows, I was like, okay, yeah. I think this might, this might be something that I'm interested in.
Yeah. It was basically a bookend type movie.
Let's just open with a pure cock.
Yeah, they did. They cocked us. It's all bad. So yeah, the beginning, you have like two people running through the woods naked and they're getting shot by a crossbow as they're running. And at one point, the guy who's completely naked gets a crossbow through his fucking balls. And I almost threw up because it was like sideways. So it's clearly through both testicles. Like the pinpoint precision on the arrow to the testicles like that, that's a pro. And also I almost vomited seeing that. But
pro ball shot.
Jeez, yeah. Just arrow to the balls. But the girl that was with him, she's running. And then instead of the arrow, she falls and fucking lands on a log with a spike pointing up type deal. A branch pointing up. Goes right through her chest. She's DED dead or almost DED dead. And she gets shot in the face with an arrow. So immediately we're just like, okay, that's kind of cool. We're off to a pretty good start. But the momentum just did not carry at all. It was, oh God.
It starts like to a point where, like I said before, like it's the movie's going to, there's going to be a lot of shit hitting the fan. And then you live, like you said, a bookend. It starts strong and ends strong. There's like nothing in the middle whatsoever.
Nothing.
It just, it's like, I feel like I was watching an old school Friday the 13th movie. It's just teenagers having sex. You know what I'm saying? That was it. That's what they relied on for most of this movie.
Yeah, it was just all sex appeal this whole time. And you have your main protagonist, which is Diego and Sage. And what they're just trying to do, they're trying to go to a nice lake house, enjoy the weekend together before Diego quits his job, become a writer full time. And Sage is like, yeah, I'll support you, no problem. Clearly, like, wasn't into the idea the slightest bit. But Diego also had ambitions to actually propose to her that weekend as well. You know, get that locked in. But
yeah,
that's really that's like the gist of this movie. And then like the two younger couple, they show up and they're just like, oh, hey, we're supposed to be here, too. But later on, I was thinking like, oh, they were already there to begin with. And then they left and pretended that they had a place. You know how like when you have like an Airbnb, right? When you have your Airbnb, you still have a little bit of time to check out on like the day you're supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like that they just kind of sneaked out and then came back to the front and were like, we're here for the weekend. That's what I was kind of thinking. I mean, luckily at the end, towards the end, we get a pretty decent turn.
So,
but we're not even there yet, but there's not much to talk about.
We're not there yet. We will be.
We will.
But so that was another problem I had with this movie is I feel like other than the big twist towards the end, did you predict them being owners of that house?
No.
All right. So like if you look at my notes, it's like the fifth bullet down.
Yeah. Oh, that you didn't predict them as being like the owners?
No, I saw it in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, you actually... Oh, so you knew.
I said the twist is going to be that Sin and Will just have some crazy fetish and actually own this house, rent it to other couples and kill them, which ends up being what happens because towards the end of the movie, we see all these photos of other couples that have come through, assuming they killed them.
Oh, yeah. They definitely did.
But I feel like that wasn't very predictable. To me, it was. And then the Luke and Leia situation.
Yeah. No. It's not. Oh, yeah. The Luke and Leia situation. You're right.
Props to them for doing that because, like, it's such a really a no. It's like a big gray area, the brother and sister thing. Right?
I guess.
For a fucking good reason.
Oh. Yeah.
But, you know, props to them for exploring, like bringing that into this film and kind of making it a little more twisted.
Yeah, it was pretty twisted. You know, brother and sister fucking doing their thing. We don't need to talk about it, but there's clearly points in this movie where the two of them are doing things. So I think my initial thoughts of this movie was these two couples are going to get like mistakenly renting the same place. And then there's going to be an actual killer involved who's going to be fucking with them the whole time. That was my initial thought for this movie. That's not what happened. Instead, we just got boring all the way through.
What was that other movie we watched where there was a guy that owned an Airbnb and he rented it out to someone, but that person that owned the Airbnb insisted that they stay there while that person was staying there? think we reviewed this.
You know what? You're probably right. Fuck. We'll have to go through the archives at this point. The 142 episodes now. So not a lot happens in this movie other than like the very beginning, the very end. So there's not much for us to talk about, but we can talk about this one awesome thing that happened recently. You know what, Corey? Do you want to talk about it? Because I know you're excited. You're super. Oh, I'm excited too. But you almost shit yourself when we got the news.
So as our handful of listeners knows, like we've been doing the Silver Scream Convention every year. They're very kind and have us back every year to cover the event. Thank you for that. But 2026, we've been trying to do this for 3 years now. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out for us, but we're going to Texas.
Yeah,
in May.
We are.
We're going to Texas Frightmare Weekend.
That's going to be so awesome, man. I didn't expect this little fucking podcast of two shitbags reviewing horror movies are getting these opportunities of like going to conventions across the country. So next up, Corey, we're going overseas. We're going to just.
Yeah, I would love tour. That. So we got to talk about this fucking craziness, though. So again, we are officially going to be at Texas Frightmare as press this year. Thankfully, they've invited us in. So we'll be doing more coverage about this. We're going to be doing an episode later talking about what you can expect at the convention. And then like Silver Scream, we'll do a wrap up episode.
Exactly.
Once we get back from traveling. But just to give you an idea of the guest list hasn't been completely announced yet, but I know you're freaking out because you're finally going to get to meet Matt Lillard.
Finally. I'm not fucking around this time, Corey.
And for me, my biggest so far, hopefully Brad Dourif. But Tobin Bell is going to be there.
Yeah. That's
I am so fucking excited to meet him.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
So you've got Tobin Bell, Spencer Charnas is going to be there. McKenna Grace, I know you want to meet her because of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's exactly where
Warwick Davis.
What's that?
Warwick Davis is going to be there. Shawnee Smith. I feel like they're doing some sort of a Saw reunion type thing because they've also got Lee Whannell who created the franchise.
You said Skeet Ulrich as well, right? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So it's a pretty solid lineup so far, but yeah, I need to meet Matthew Lillard. So I could get that photo signed. It's just like have Skeet and Matt sign it. I think that would just be really fucking cool. And because I'm such a fan of Ghostbusters, I mean, obviously, if you could see behind me, there's just a shit ton of Ghostbusters stuff. But I'm not going to turn around all that stuff. But there's a lot of it. So that girl's in the newer Ghostbusters movies, the Afterlife and Frozen Empire. And she's like kind of like your main character in it. She plays Egon's granddaughter. And I think it'd be pretty cool to meet her because I'm such a fan of Ghostbusters. I would probably do the same if the girls from Answer the Call was there, but it's not my favorite. I actually had to go into that. You remember Answer the Call 2016 with like it was the all-female cast?
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it Melissa McCarthy, Leslie? What the hell is her last name? You know what I'm talking about? Because am I thinking the right thing?
You're thinking the right thing.
Okay.
Kristen Hedwig? No.
Yeah, and then Leslie. Leslie.
I don't know. But
anyways,
yeah, so it was I had to go into it objectively as if I never saw Ghostbusters in my life. So when I went in that way, it was fine. First time I saw it, though, I fell asleep. I thought it was fucking stupid because it was too slapstick, too hokey for me. The original Ghostbusters was smart and funny. So I didn't like it the first time. Second time I saw it. OK, not bad. I wouldn't want a sequel of it, though. That's for sure.
I thought I was fine. It got shit on, of course. I think just because people didn't want to accept that it was different than, you know, Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2. We wanted Ghostbusters 3. Yeah,
there was no way we're going to get Ghostbusters 3 at all. They're just too old for it at this point. The only person that
they've been getting the cameos.
Yeah, we did get cameos. That was cool. I mean, Ernie Hudson's the only one that doesn't look his age. The rest of them, they're pretty up there. And Egon, obviously, we know he's very much D.E.D. dead, rip. But there was no way they would do probably a full Ghostbusters 3. They're just going to do cameos or have someone else carry the cast and they can hop in whenever. And that's what they did in Afterlife and in Frozen Empire. So I like them both. All right, Corey, so we should probably get back to the movie at hand. You know, we got a job to do.
I don't want to. Can we not?
Can we not? We don't really have to. I mean, we still got plenty of time to fucking kill, though. We can't be like, I mean, we are 30 screams or less. We review movies in under 30 minutes, and we are way under. We technically could be like, fuck this. Don't want to talk about it.
Can we just talk about corn?
You know what? People enjoy the rants more than anything. People love our fucking tangents. I've heard this multiple times from your friends, that they just love when we go off the fucking cuff and go bonkers with shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other people have said that too. Yeah.
Why?
We've heard that. Why? A lot. I don't know. They like, we got to save the rants for the director's cuts, like the true rants. Oh,
that's a good idea.
For when we're on vacation or some shit and we don't want to make, we don't want to do this shit.
We're just fucking, all right, we're taking a month off. We're just going to release four director's cut episodes or podcaster cut episodes, as I call them.
Yeah. I like that too. We're taking a month off this year.
Fuck yeah. Why not?
Fuck all
of you.
You
know what we should do for the Texas Frightmare is we should make like a blog, you know, so that way we have like a nice long video for YouTube.
Do you have a GoPro?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1080p GoPro, and I know people like their 4K these days, but hey, get what you get and don't get upset.
We're just two people. We do this all by ourselves. We basically pay for all this shit ourselves, except all the sponsorship checks that are rolling in.
We're getting a lot of those recently. So thank you, people, for buying Beard Octane. So, hey, Beard Octane's great. You know, we like their stuff. That's why we sponsored them. So let's get, okay, we got to get back into this. We're already going off. Well, this is the second tangent we've done in a few minutes trying to get back into the movie.
So I got to talk about the meat tenderizer, right? They made reference to that meat tenderizer several times. I'm like, this has got to be some kind of foreshadowing. Like someone's getting beat to death with this meat tenderizer. Right. Never happened.
Nope. Now, I want to say this too. I thought we were going to get into some culty shit as well because there was that room with candles all around, like in a circle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I love my culty shit. You know this. You know I love that stuff. It's just so fucking weird. It's so crazy to see sometimes. So I'm like, all right, we have three rooms. One's a sex dungeon. Fuck yeah. Another one is culty shit room. But the third one was the big twist. The big twist was they were filming everything in that third room. And...
oh, like it was a security type room where they had cameras everywhere. So when he made comments about what the hell was her name?
Sin?
Sage. Okay. Doing what she was doing in the bathtub. Yep. I'm like, he's got cameras in there.
Of course.
Because he knew. He was talking to her about it. And she was like, oh, how did you know that? And he tells her that Will told her. Was it Will? No, Diego. Sorry, Diego.
Okay, we're getting it backwards then. Yeah, go ahead.
Diego told me. Like, no, that didn't happen. He's got cameras all over the house.
He does. And
then we find their security layer where they have, you know, it's like a security room. They've got TVs everywhere that for different cameras from all over the house. So they're watching everything at all times.
And Diego's going to try to destroy the hard drive and stuff. And Sin's like, what are you doing? It's all in the cloud now. Thought that was funny. I like the nerd jokes sometimes. But they weren't the nerdy type. They were your typical, like, rich kid. Like, if anything, you would see them in, like, 80s movies wearing, like, a shirt or a sweatshirt around their shoulders tied here. They would be those type. So it was, like, that type of younger kids. And, I mean, that was a good twist. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, that they own the house and they're filming everything and it's all a game. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's whatever. The movie's already whatever as it is. But then we get that twist that they're brother and sister. And I'm like, okay, I didn't expect that one. I just expected that they owned the house.
That one was definitely, it caught me by surprise.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, they're doing a lot of stuff. That's fucked up.
Yeah, they were.
They were. Oh, yeah, that was, it was yucky.
Yucky. It
was G-R-O-S-S, gross. Uppercase gross. No lowercasing at all in that. So, yeah, the whole idea is that Will and Sin, they're trying to seduce Diego and seduce Sage, trying to drive a wedge in between them, see if their love falters in, like, all that fucking lunacy. And technically, they win because they're still together. They're not fighting. They didn't sleep with either one of Will or Sin. So they're like, we won. And then this is when they're, like, Will and Sin go into this whole dialogue and they're talking about like, oh, we're brother and sister. We killed our parents and we also killed a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about it being like Bone Lake where bodies would be buried there and they would just show up on the shore after a while. So we find out they're basically brother and sister serial killers who are testing people's love with a ridiculous game. I will say this. I think I'm just going to fucking jump to the end at this point because this is where the best shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it's actually a horror movie. Oh, I got to talk about this part real quick because it's like it's leading to it. So they taped up, when I say them, it's Sage and Diego are taped up on the couch after listening to the whole dialogue with the brother and sister. And Diego's like, I saw this thing on TikTok. And I'm like, oh, I always find it so cringy when they bring up TikTok in movies.
It's like almost advertisement. Yes.
I just
like make up a name for some social media network if you're going to do that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't use the actual like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I agree.
I don't know why I find it cringy. It is.
Yeah, because they need the promotion.
TikTok does not need it.
They're not going to survive without fucking promotion from a movie.
So they were like, I've seen the video too. It's like when if your hands are taped like that, right? And you kind of go up and then like slam your arms out to like split tape down the middle, which, okay, sure, it works. Well, it worked for them. I haven't tested it. So that's what they were doing. And both Will and Sin are watching this on camera and they're like, what the fuck are they doing? And, and they get loose. Sage runs off. Diego can't really run at that point because he fucked his leg up when Will ran them over with his fucking car, you know, or ran into him with the car. So, yeah, Diego, he's fucking hanging out there. He's trying to still get out of the tape and everything. Sage runs off. There's like some shit that happens. I hated this part. Do you remember the I'll count to three part with the axe to the head?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It drove me fucking crazy.
And who can throw an axe that accurate?
One that big, too? No.
Yeah.
No, you like.
We got superhuman strength just fucking chucking an axe straight for, you know.
Fucking ridiculous.
10, 20
feet. I mean, I know there's axe throwing places, but we're talking like this, right? We're not talking these big fucking hawking, like log cutting axes. These are like just little fucking little guys you can actually throw. Whatever he did, he's just like, oh, yeah, no big deal. And just yeets it fucking across the yard. So, yeah. Sage has the axe and Will's like in front of her, like, I dare you to kill me. Now, I'll give you a free shot. I'll count to three. And whole time, just nope, won't do it. He's like, oh, fine. I'll count to three again. One, two. She swings and misses. He's like, oh. And she tries again. He grabs it from her and she kicks him in the balls, runs off. I'm thinking to myself, you probably still could have kept the axe if you kicked him in the balls because he went down, but she just dropped it and ran off. Just like a stupid, oh no. And that's when Will takes this friggin' axe and hucks it and it catches in a tree. Now, this is important because that axe makes a comeback later. So she's fighting Will. Diego's fighting Sin. But, oh, you know what we got to talk about right before that? Right before Sage and Will got into that axe deal, when Sin and Sage were going at it in the kitchen. I fucking hated it, dude. I hated that scene. Sex and violence! Sex and violence!
Oh, the song was playing?
It ruined the whole fucking scene. It ruined it so bad.
Yeah, the music choice in that scene was not ideal.
I get why they did it, because it's a violent part, and there's sex in the movie and stuff, but it was so derpy sounding, just, derp, like that deal. But yeah, sex and violence! It's like, that's what it is. I can't remember the name of the punk band, but I fucking heard it before. Let's see. Song. Oh, The Exploited. I knew it. Okay. Yeah, it's by The Exploited. Stupid. Absolutely stupid. I think that scene would have been better.
That song is them?
What's that?
That song
is
them?
Yeah, that's them. The name of the band is called The Exploited.
I don't know their music too well.
Me neither. I'm not really big on punk, surprisingly. I mean, like heavy metal, death metal, grindcore, stuff like that, but just punk, like straight up normal punk. I've never really been into it. Not that I don't hate it. I just, not for me. Could never really get into it. So this scene would have been so much better if it was like more of a score as opposed to this ridiculous punk song that was playing as Sage and Sin were fighting. And Sin got fucked up. She got like glass to the face from Sage and you see her just pulling this fucking thing out. But as Sage runs off, this is when Will takes off after Sage and Sin decides she's going to go after Diego. And so we're flipping back and forth at this point. I'm getting like a little confused of where I am.
It doesn't matter.
There's a lot of chaos to make up for the boringness of this whole entire movie. So lots happening. So Sin and Diego, they're fighting. He's basically on the ground and she's like on top of him trying to stab him. But he can't really do much because his knee's all fucked up. But he does manage to get outside and hide enough for Sin to get stabbed in the foot and stuck on the dock. So now we're seeing Will is approaching Diego with a fucking chainsaw. And I'm like, okay.
The puniest fucking chainsaw I've ever seen in my life. Look like he just got it off the shelf at KB Toys. Oh, that's a flashback.
That is a flashback. Wow.
That just came
out. Oh, my God. You just, like, aged yourself like you wouldn't believe, dude. Oh, my God.
It came out. I was talking to someone the other day about KB Toys. Like, we used to have one near us. What other toy store could I have said? Toys R Us, which is kaput now, too, really. Yep.
Toys R Us. KB Toys.
I like KB Toys better. I'm going to go with that. So he bought this little plastic chainsaw from KB Toys, and he's chasing someone with it.
And I thought that was great because he's about to hack up Diego like crazy. And then you see Sage with the axe to Will's head, and it is just fucking lodged in there. And Will's turning around with the chainsaw like he's ready to attack her. But of course he falls, and the bloodiest scene in the whole entire movie that made up for fucking all of it.
That's what I said, too. So much blood.
So much. He lands on this chainsaw, and the blood is spraying up everywhere, and they are covered head to toe red. It was bloody, and it was great. So next day, we're like, all right, let's take the axe out of Will's head, and we'll go over to Sin and finish the job. So, yeah, they decide they're on their way to go take out Sin with the axe. Sin manages to get out from the boat dock as she was like stabbed there. She was like stuck there. Diego stuck her with like a knife or something or a screwdriver. I can't remember what it was. So they're like, all right, we're getting out of here. They go on this boat. They start to get ready to like, you know, drive away. And then you see Sin basically running up, dive onto the boat, and then a fight happens. Now, this part was actually pretty cool. I kind of saw it coming, but earlier in the film, Will took Diego's ring, his grandmother's ring, and used it to propose to Sin. So that was one of the things that they were fucking with him with, and that Sin was wearing the ring that she shouldn't be having. Diego needed that ring so he could propose to Sage. Obviously, that's not going to happen now because Will fucking ruined the whole weekend. So she was wearing it the whole time. And man, Diego's a bitch, by the way. I would have just knocked Will out and be like, give me the fucking ring back. So Sin is still wearing this ring. Diego chops her fingers off as she's like holding onto the boat and she falls off. Immediately, I'm thinking, okay, she's going to fucking land in that motor and that's it, right? No, she makes another comeback, gets on the boat. and
zombie lady.
And as they're stopped, Diego like throws her into the water again. And Sage turns on the fucking motor as high as possible. Sin's hair gets caught, gets pulled right into the fucking motor, blood everywhere. Beautiful. It's great.
What other movie did we watch that ended in a boat?
Oh, the shark movie. Dangerous
Animals. No, the ending was very similar. It took place in a small boat like this.
Friday the 13th, part 6.
There was a fight. No, it was one. I know we've reviewed it.
Probably did.
It ended in a boat. Someone got chewed up in a propeller.
Yep. Can't remember. We've reviewed a lot of movies at this point, and I lose track. But
all right.
Before we get into the end scene, fade to black deal, Diego takes the ring off of Sin's severed fingers and proposes to Sage while they're all covered in blood. And they start laughing, and I'm like, okay. And then fucking deadpan stare. Credits.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Cool. I like that.
Because, yeah, it's not a freeze frame either. It's literally them just, you know, you can see their eyes blinking. You can see them moving and the credits are rolling. And they're just staring at the camera as it's panning out. That was cool. That was a nice touch.
I did like that touch. That was nice because that shows you how much they've been through to the point where they're just mentally exhausted. Well, mentally and physically probably. So they're just like. Like, they can't even react. They're probably in shock, to be honest, right? I mean, they killed 2 people, and there's blood still all over them. So, yeah, they're probably in shock. But I think we can get into it, because that's the movie. End scene, fade to black. Corey, what do you give Bone Lake? I know where this is going all day. I know.
2 out of 5. This was basically a Speak No Evil clone that somehow forgot why that movie worked in the first place. It pretends to be original just long enough to waste your time, dangling the idea of a twisted love story like it's going somewhere interesting. Spoiler, it isn't. The movie drags, circles itself, and seems genuinely afraid to do anything until the last 30 minutes, when it suddenly panics and goes completely off the rails. By then, I was already checked out. Too little, too late. An ending can't save a movie that spent most of its runtime actively daring me to stop watching.
Good point. Well said. I was ready to turn that thing off, man. I was borderline about to text you and be like, what the fuck are we watching right now? Like, why are you sending this to me? So I'm going to go the same route. I'm going to go with a 2 out of 5 on this. Bone Lake struggles with pacing, spending far too much time circling its premise before committing to a meaningful momentum. By the midpoint, it feels as though the film should be nearing its conclusion, only to reveal that nearly an hour remains, a stretch that's largely marked by boredom rather than tension. That said, the final act does offer some payoff. The escalation into violence is more engaging, and the brother-sister twist is genuinely effective. The inclusion of the song Sex and Violence, as we discussed during the key confrontation between Sage and Sin, undermines the whole scene, replacing what could have been a tense moment with an oddly hokey tone that clashes with the film's intent. It just makes it hokey looking and sounding. It just couldn't freaking deal with it. Ultimately, Bone Lake doesn't offer enough to justify a rewatch or a recommendation. While it finds brief footing in its closing moments, the long, uneventful buildup makes it a frustrating experience overall. If you want to check out Bone Lake, you can watch it on Netflix. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order, because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.